is 14. You meant appropriate statement. A monk asked the young man, what are the teaching of a whole lifetime? Young man said, an appropriate statement. Monk asked the young man, what are the teachings of a whole lifetime? Young man said, an appropriate statement. I think this monk probably might be great Buddhist monk who studied the Buddhist and Buddha teaching according to the systematized Buddhist teaching. But on the other hand, Zen Buddhism always emphasizes real teaching, true teaching out of scripture written in the world. That's why, in a sense, that this monk really against this monk was not in favor of Zen teaching, because Zen teaching always emphasized something beyond, more than Buddhist teaching, scriptures, more than Buddhist scriptures in the world. So that is Zen teaching. So, but on the other hand, this monk really studied Buddhism according to Buddhist teaching has very enormous amount of Buddhist teaching. They said that there were already 5,840 scriptures in the year of Kaigen in China. Kaigen, the year of Kaigen was between 713 to 742. So in those days, there were already 5,840 scriptures translated into Chinese from Sanskrit and the Pali. But up to now only 84,000 Buddhist scriptures, not one Bible, not by one Bible, 84,000 Buddhist scriptures, really enormous amount of Buddhist teaching. So this monk really understood Buddhist teaching according to this enormous amount of Buddhist teaching. But then always emphasized something, real Buddhist teaching is beyond scriptures. That's why he was not in favor of Zen teaching. That's why maybe this monk asked you, man, what are the teaching of a whole lifetime? Whole lifetime is the Buddha's whole lifetime. How much does Buddha teach, you know, his teachings in his whole lifetime. But it's very difficult to say tersely. It's very hard to say tersely or simply, you know, with the one word, because already 84,000 was Christian. How can I say? Because then all the answers are beyond scripture, the 84,000 Buddhist scripture. If so, then there's something there. So why don't you say something about that one? So that's why he says, what are the teachings of all lifetime? Well, in Buddhist Samadhi, you know, the oldest Buddhist scriptures, so-called agamas, four kinds of agamas. These Buddhist scriptures are the oldest oldest teachings taught by Buddha, compiled by his disciples and laymen, almost about maybe in between 100 and 200 years after Buddha's death. That is agama. That agama really compiles this agama. They are really a collection of simple, understandable stories of his life, Buddha's life, and Buddha's teachings, according to spoken by the Buddha, according to occasions and times and peoples, so wherever he might be. So that is a very simple, almost those scriptures are already translated into English, I think. This year I would like to collect this scriptures for the library. I don't know how many volumes are translated or not. And after this, the establishment of these Buddhist scriptures, Buddhists try to systematize Buddha's teaching, because after Buddha's death, many religions there, but many religions are sort of competing with each other, not only ancient time, up to now, even nowadays, always many religions are competing with each other, telling of the to the path of Brahman is better. So the Brahmanism and the Jewish Jainism is better. So very naturally, Buddhists had to systematize Buddhist teaching. So the Buddhists started to research Buddha's teaching, research the argument, what Buddha mentioned, philosophically, psychologically. That is what's called Abhidhamma. huge diet of abdominal kosha, not kosher. Abdominal kosher is a part of abdomen. Anyway, the Buddhist research very carefully, one by one, each sentence, and what the Buddha said, philosophically, psychologically, and then systematize. That is abdomen. That's what abdomen is really interesting for us. And after that, almost the first century, in the first century, between the before and after the first century, teaching of Abhidharma is too ideological, because analyzing the teaching and the systematized philosophical psychology, so still there is a certain dread at the bottom of the battle. Do you understand? Dread to me is ideology, thinking something, is certainly philosophical. So still ideological things doesn't fit exactly reality, because reality is constantly moving and alive. So you cannot understand, you cannot fit into your life according to ideology. Ideology is very nice for us, because so we can systematize, we can see the clear pictures of human life, philosophical psychology. But if we try to fit into reality, it's very hard. So very naturally, there is Buddhist scholar so-called Nagarjuna, recommended people and Buddhist and non-Buddhist, whoever they are, anyway, pay attention to human thinking. And let them to return to real Buddha's teaching, what Buddha's teaching said, what the Buddha said. That is in Nagarjuna's philosophy, so called emptiness, sunyata. So Nagarjuna's teaching is really leading the people to touch their real thought of reality, existence, real thought. Thought of existence is, I don't know what, how can I say, maybe we say holiness, but in Buddhism we don't say holiness, but we say noble, four noble truths, you know that? Noble, holiness, it doesn't matter, but anyway, thought of existence is something more than ideological. That's what we cannot, we don't know what it is, but we can glance at even the moment that we can know, we can experience with the wisdom. That is the great thought of existence. We don't know how we should say that sort of diet, but something holy, something noble. So that is the Nagarjuna teaching. So as always, Buddhism was really developed. And then in the first century, most of the Buddhist scriptures are compiled at those days, particularly Mahayana Buddhist scriptures, you know, the Prajnaparamita and Avatamsaka Sutra and Vimalakirti and Nirvana Sutra and the Lotus Sutra. Those sutras were really compiled in those days. well, to say at the Avatamsaka Sutra, Nirvana Sutra is always teaching, the Nirvana Sutra teaches us that how sublime human life is through Buddha's death. It's Nirvana. Now the Sankara Sutra is sort of little bit of particular scriptures, but explaining philosophically, of the Sankara Sutra, really philosophically, shows panorama pictures of structure of human world and truth. Okay, truth. That is, we can Buddha's name is of course the Vairocana Buddha. Vairocana Buddha is a Buddha who exists right in the center of the universe. From this Buddha, whole universe are created. So, similar to, you know, Christian theology, okay, theology. But in the Avatamsaka Sutra, anyway, emphasizes the Vairocana Buddha as the center of the universe, but he really working dynamically with many Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and all sentient beings, and then finally created the dynamic dancing of dualistic world, human world, and Vairocana Buddha, so bring it together. That is a really fantastic explanation of this, the pictures of dancing each other. So finally, it emphasizes four kinds of the world. Four kinds of the world. The Dhamma world of the principle, Dhamma world of the dualistic world, okay, and the Dhamma world of non interference, between principle and dualistic world. And finally, the other one is the world of non-interference between the dhammas, things. So things are completely dynamical, working each other, like helping each other, interdependent, penetrating each other. That is Avatamsaka Sutra. Avatamsaka Sutra really explaining the panorama pictures, how the Vairocana Buddha and in a world together, working together. So that is at the Sanskrit. And philosophical, a little bit philosophical. And the Lotus Sutra is a little bit different from other Sanskrit because Lotus Sutra really show us directly what the Buddha is. The world, the authority is exactly Buddha. Buddha, Lotus Sutra teaches us directly. The whole human world is completely Buddha. So, after the scripture, the final Tendai schools, the Tendai schools, one of the Buddhist schools, divided the Buddha teachings taught for 45 years, is divided into five periods of Buddha teaching. Five period of teaching. Well, that is a sort of Avatamsaka Sutra and the Nirvana Sutra and Prajnaparamita Sutra and also the Vital Sutra, the Marakyuri Sutra and Lotus Sutra. Five. But this is really systematized teaching. So if you study those things in your whole life, you study hard every day, but still the span of your life is not long enough. 84,000 descriptions. The life of the life we have to study here. but anyway, those even though we study the scriptures for many, many years, still we don't understand Buddhism because Buddhism hits your heart. Intellectually, in a sense, you understand, but still you don't understand. You are not exactly, what would you say, straightforward. You are not exactly ready to accept Buddhism because still you don't understand. Well, Buddhism is, Buddhist teaching is not only studying theory of Buddhist teaching, but it is important for us. The simultaneously, most important thing is, Buddhist teaching must be alive in your life. So life must be, your life at that time, your life is just like a leaping fish. The Buddha teaching is still leaping fish, everyday life. That is, appropriate statement. Appropriate statement is not only two states, the Buddha teaching with the world, in a world, and also with the mind, with the body. If you say something, some aspect of Buddha's teaching, in a word, that teaching mentioned by the word will include, the teaching mentioned by mind and body. If you have a teaching mentioned by body, there must be teaching mentioned by words and also mind. So simultaneously, all are included in walking. That is a statement. And the appropriate means that not according to circumstances or people. If you say so, well, orange is people as object, and then teaching here. How do you use this teaching fit into this people's experience? Okay. So orange is there are lots of objects. But appropriate means your life really living every day, you know, according to wherever you may be. Then Buddha's teaching after this, if you continue practice like this, Buddha's teaching comes up to you. Buddha's teaching fits to your life. And then you say, this is Buddha's teaching. But if you don't do that, first you see the Buddha's teaching and try to understand means always you look at the Buddha's teaching, and then you try to mold, put mold your life into it, and then try to understand and arrange your life in that way. This is a little bit difficult. So, of course, we have to have a Buddha's teaching as a mirror. You know, always we have to have, and as a great teacher to suggest what direction we should go. Always there, we should have, but we cannot mold our life into a certain discipline. So, first, always we have to see, we have to have mirrors, and the Buddha, you know, have the Buddha teaching as a mirror constantly and reflect upon ourselves. Then, day by day, Buddha teaching is day by day. Anyway, our life must live and fish. This is a very simple life, but it's not simple. That's why that's what we have to have the Buddha's teaching as a mirror, that is teaching for noble truth and its noble path is there. And also according to the deep teachings, we can see the thoughts of existence, which is absolutely intact by anyone. Even though you don't know, most important point is that wherever you may be, anyway, you have to just care of our life. Even though you are in the suffering, suffering is anyway completely beyond like or dislike, escape or not escape. So all we have to do is to take care of suffering means, and when we have to do the best of the suffering, right in the middle of suffering, that is all we have to do at that time. Life really becomes living, even though you consciously don't feel good. But if you do your best, if you do the best, if you make the bed, okay, of the suffering, right in the middle of suffering, that time, in many ways, that life is really little, just like a little thing. So, very naturally, you can go deeply into the depths of your life. And also because you can really see a characteristic of dualistic world. What's the dualistic world? That is so-called impermanence. For instance, even though you say I like certain or you say I don't like certain, whatever you say, it doesn't hit the mark. This is reason you have, whatever kind of reasonable reason you have, those reasons are almost the same, so-called a part of an impermanence changing kind. Another example is, for instance, one couple said a man felt the man wanted to get married with his girlfriend, but at that time the woman didn't want. Finally, a woman became pregnant, and then she felt she wanted to marry. But at that time, unfortunately, man didn't want. So obviously, he is going this way, and the woman is going that way. But if I ask, if I listen to their reasons, you see, each moment, each reason, very, very understandable reason he mentioned, and she mentioned. But basically, the reason comes from anyway, selfishness. Really egoistic. Egoistic means I want to be free. I don't want to be tied up by anyone. But, so that is the reason I don't want. I don't want. So when you feel good, well, you want. You really want to grasp something, but grasping something is also, egoistic, very egoistic. I don't want to let it go, I want to get it. On the other hand, well, when you don't want at that time, you want to be free from any freedom. You want to be free anyway. Very naturally, we are always looking at the human life from a small telescope, and then I like and I don't like all this, you say so. The important point is we have to see human life with a huge telescope. That is most important for us. For this, anyway, whatever happens, we have to make the best of any circumstances, and in that circumstance, unfavorable or favorable condition, anyway, with sincerity. And then very naturally you can see what human life is, human world is, and then realization of the capitalistic dualism anyway leads you to touch the core of existence, the core impermanence. Here you go. And then very naturally you are that way of life, just like a living faith, of really broaden the scope of your understanding. I think most important that then is it can really fit to your life, and then at that time you really understand the Buddha's teaching. But otherwise, even though you understand the Buddha's teaching intellectually, still it doesn't fit to the reality. So at that time, you won't like it. You don't like it. But even a little bit to fit to your life, you like it. But the next moment, you don't like it because still Buddhism is so very invasive, so you don't understand. So finally, you say, I don't like Buddhism. Because Buddhism is life, constantly life. Up and down. Oh, it's up and down. So we have to, I always tell you constantly, we have to make the best of going up and going down anyway, wherever you may be, with our best, we have to do this. Then very naturally, we can understand. That is the called appropriate statement. Okay? Do you have some questions? This is the last page in the collection of anxiety. Thank you very much. Okay. Okay. Do you have a question?
The advice that masters are giving them is don't concern yourself about impermanence or permanence. In other words, it seems that everything in their existence is completely pointed just towards something very specific about Buddhism after a long period of practice. But when I read that, it makes me feel small, because lots of other things besides impermanence and permanence are always coming into my head. It seems like they're different things. It seems like they're things more trivial, like mundane, worldly kind of affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Although, but and something might happen that really feels terrible, kind of inside. But it's or related to something not, I mean, it sort of seems surface.
I will just tell you the many things that are impermanent or permanent. The impermanence and life long, the red and the white and the yellow and flashing light, all are flashing light. I will tell you flashing light. Flashing light are the signs for the many various aspects of human life on top of the world. Fabricated by human consciousness that is a realistic world anyway. We are real, so we cannot escape from this. So important point is the Buddha always teaches us the Four Noble Truths, truth of noble truth of the suffering, or the noble truth of impermanence. Impermanence or permanent. Impermanence means that's something you have to concern, you have to be concerned about, or you mustn't be concerned about completely else, because you are there. So something you must be there constantly. That is completely beyond your consciousness to start work. Anyway, your body and mind is right in the middle of impermanence. That impermanence is no frame of impermanence. So because your body, mind must be impermanent. So your body and mind, or your object must be handled impermanent. And then after experience, we say, yes, it's impermanent. This is already speculative and liberal. So, impermanence is a truth because it is completely beyond. You have to be concerned about, or you mustn't be concerned about, completely beyond. So that is the meaning of the impermanence. But still, we are always in the dualistic world. So that is the question like always. Impermanence, I don't believe in impermanence, because there is a suffering here. And then you say permanence. And then I don't believe in permanence, or because everything is changing. So all this question like this. Both, what? Both, yes, always. What? Stop. The question is how you handle with this blessing light. How long you can hang on to this?
If you become a monk, does the impermanence become more and more apparent?
Becomes more the impermanence, the more it gets to the heart. So nothing different from my body and mind. So far, the impermanent Buddha teaching is still object, as you can see. At that time, impermanence is something you can feel, you can experience. Okay. And that time, impermanence gives you a lot of the information, so called the pessimistic, and sometimes melancholy, and sometimes pessimistic. Then they not from this feelings we can make a literature and the poems to guide the Japanese literature. So lots of feeling of impermanence there. But still that permanency is still a teaching.
But if you
are not the monks, so still you can be a person looking at the economy and say, what is this? Even though you become a monk, you're still looking at the little distance. At that time, Jesus said, anyway, hitting your head. Not the violently, anyway. Well, just to put you in the right in the middle of life, you know. No excuse. That's too good for us. But if you're not pleased in the monk, you can see the permanence and teachings in a little bit. Look, oh, how beautiful it is.
I would like to thank the many years that you have helped us with.
Huh?
I'd like to thank the many years you have helped us with.
Oh, thank you. Thank you,
son. Is there any way you can talk to me to give me the connect up to the end? Is there any way we can talk you into continuing with lecture and lecture? Well, I think it was wonderful.
I don't completely stop quit. I continue to teach. For a while I keep that. We will have our famous on Tuesday night. If you have the time.
Yeah.